Westminster. Lovely singing. It's a joy to be with you this evening. And I'd like to thank David for his most helpful ministry and reminder to us of the power of God in so many aspects of our lives. I wonder if we can turn, please, to Paul's first letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to have a few moments in ministry as well before we consider our report this evening. And I trust that the thoughts in ministry this evening will lay somewhat a foundation for some of the aspects of our consideration of the Lord's work as we proceed. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. And Paul writing to Timothy, obviously he says, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save, both save thyself and them that hear thee." We know that God will bless the public reading of his word this evening. And there is far more in these verses that we will be able to consider this evening, but I just, in a very simple way, want to encourage us, particularly with some young people here tonight, and it's good to see the young people, and I'd like to encourage you for being here. But Paul writes to Timothy. Paul and Timothy had a very unique, a very special relationship. And Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 2, he calls him his son in the faith. In 2 Timothy 1, he says, "My dearly beloved son." A spiritual son. A spiritual father relationship. We thought tonight in David's thoughts and in his ministry of the power of God in salvation, but also the importance of living in the enjoyment of our salvation and living in the light and the life that we have in Christ. For many of us in this room, I'm sure we were raised in a Christian home. Maybe tonight you're here and you weren't raised in a Christian home. But you know, we're thankful, aren't we, that we've all come by the way of the cross. But you know, I remember being raised in a godly Christian home. And I was taught by example. My parents weren't perfect. I love them very dearly. My dear dad is home in glory now. But I was raised in a home where, for Matthew, my brother, and myself, we knew what it was to have godly parents and godly grandparents. And the scriptures remind us, don't we, the importance of being an example. Elders are exhorted in 1 Peter to be to lead by example. Proverbs reminds us, those of us that are parents, to train our children in the way that they should go. You know, that doesn't guarantee their salvation, it doesn't guarantee that they will go on for the Lord, but we are to be an example. Now Paul comes to Timothy, his spiritual son. And we'll not get through them all tonight, but essentially there are eight instructions that Paul brings to Timothy. We read, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example, give attendance to reading, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. Take heed unto yourself, continue in them." What an encouragement that Paul brings to Timothy, and tonight he brings to us as well. Timothy had spent some time with Paul on Paul's second missionary journey. Paul now writes to Timothy from Macedonia to where Timothy was in Ephesus, and where Timothy was helping in the work there, in a culture where great emphasis was placed upon and great value was placed upon age and experience. And Paul is writing to Timothy. We believe that Timothy at this stage was probably around 30 to 35 years of age. Paul writes to him, and essentially Paul says to Timothy, he says, "A servant of God you are." He said, "I want you to lead and live by example. Live in the light and the life and the enjoyment of your salvation." He says, "As you live your life as a believer, And he brings these instructions to him. He says, be thou an example. Not an example, as it were, for people to set up a movement where they would be a follower of Timothy movement, but an example of what the believer should be. Moment by moment, day by day. If thought and night of the power, and you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have along with saved, indwelt, sealed by the Holy Spirit. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day, moment by moment. I trust that in our lives we commit our lives and those of our families into the Lord's care day by day. We're called, aren't we, to live our lives as in transformation. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A commitment to our Lord and Saviour. And he says, be an example in your words, in your speech, Timothy, that our speech as believers should be that characterises the fact that we are children of God. James chapter 3, verse 5, the tongue is a little member which boasts great things. Paul says to Timothy, he says, speak the truth. Speak it in love. Speak with consideration to encourage and exhort others. Don't break them down. Brothers and sisters, encouragement for us too tonight, isn't it? Young people, older people, we need to be careful in what we say and how we say it. He says, be thou an example. And you know, there were those in John 7 who spoke about the Lord Jesus and they said, never man spake like this man. And you know, there are those people out there that you just know have been in the presence of God when you hear them speak. In their conversations, when you go into the home, when you meet them on the street, and you just know that they of being an example in word. He says in conversation, essentially that means in Timothy's conduct, in his behaviour. To walk worthy, Paul says, in Ephesians, of our calling in Christ Jesus. To live in the light that we have put on the new man, taken off the old, live in the light of the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, and joy. You know why? Because there are those who are watching you and I tonight as believers. Our neighbours, colleagues at work, family, children, parents, unsaved spouses, there are people watching. And Paul says to Timothy, be thou an example in your conduct. Be careful in your words. Be careful in your life, in the way that you conduct yourself. Be an example in love. 1 Corinthians 13, the motive for our conduct. You know, we can be busy for the Lord. We can exhaust ourselves almost in the Lord's work. But you know, we can be doing it for the wrong motive, for the wrong reason. Paul comes in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, without love, these things are really of no value. We thought tonight of the preaching of the gospel. We will be thinking a moment of, you know, drawing alongside people and sharing the gospel with them, whether it's on the streets, in their homes, at the meeting. Brethren and sisters, may it be that we have a love for the unsaved. That might be speaking the obvious. Sometimes we might just feel like we're turning the key of the door and opening up and putting the lights on just because that's what's done. May we be taken back and reminded through the power that we've been thinking of, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to love the people out there. Beneath the Saviour. They may never darken the door of the hall. Certainly where we are, most of the people, if not all the people in the meeting, or in the town, sorry, won't darken the door of the hall. But they still need to hear. He says, be an example in love, in spirit, in faith. Timothy, essentially he said, Paul says, in faith, be faithful. That his convictions were to be sure, were to be true, the things that he would learn. And Paul comes in a moment and he says, Timothy, give time, give attention to the word of God. But he says, in purity. Purity in your words, purity in your conduct, purity in your thoughts. He then instructs in chapter 5 and verse 2 for the younger sisters with purity in 5 verse 22 to keep thyself pure. The purity of the Christian is an essential characteristic when we consider our lives. There are so many things in the world today that will distract us, that will tempt us, that will be there to destroy the purity in the life of the Christian. At the touch of a button, when something is tagged, when something is written, when something is said, when we say something, in a moment, that purity, it's not talking of perfection, but that purity that we, that holiness, that godliness in our lives, can be destroyed. Paul says to Timothy in verse 13, he says, till I come, he says, give attention to reading. Now those of you that know the background of this, essentially Paul was talking here of the public reading of the Word of God. At the time there wasn't the distribution of the scriptures was limited, and so there was a big emphasis put on the public reading of the Word of God. We've even thought tonight of the occasion of Luke chapter 4 when the Lord Jesus at the synagogue in Nazareth stood up and read from the scriptures. And Paul doesn't say to Timothy, Timothy, just open and do it casually and don't make much thought of it. He says, give attention. Give your whole attention. Your thoughts, your life. He says, to the reading of the Word of God. And before Timothy would maybe do this publicly, William MacDonald brings this point in his commentary that there must have been a time in Timothy's life in private where he gave attention to the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, young people, have you read our Bibles today? Have we thought about what we've read? I'm sure most of us had breakfast, and most of us had lunch, and most of us had dinner, and some of us even had things in between. You'd never guess, would you? But spiritually speaking, have we fed ourselves today? Are we here tonight to be spoon-fed? And we're happy and content with that? I hope we're not. But that we be content to move forward and progress and give attendance, our whole attendance, to the reading of the Word of God. You know, sometimes people say, well, how do we know what the will of God is? Well, some people say, well, how do I know what my gift is? Well, you know, the Word of God speaks of those things. If only we would open the pages. If only we would seek the Lord's guidance in these things. Paul says to Timothy, he says, I want you to give attention to these most important things. For the sake of time, we're going to skip down, but he says to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to the teaching, the great truths of the Word of God. And I would encourage the young people here tonight. I was saved when I was 6. Sadly, I wasn't baptized until I was 16 and went through my teenage years just floating along as a Christian. And it wasn't until I was 16 years of age and a brother has remind us tonight at the end of his message of sometimes the need of coming to that realization and having a fresh reminder of what it means to be saved. Well, that happened to me in the north of Ireland. We were living in England at the time, but I was on holiday in the north of Ireland. And a dear old preacher, some of you know Ian Jackson, was taking meetings. And I was there for a few weeks and saw a few people saved, a few young people saved. And that was a realization and a reminder to me of the power of God. And there, away from home, the Lord spoke to me about baptism. And in the small gospel hall in a little village called Ballywalter, baptized because the Lord had spoken to me. Wasted years in my teenagers, and I would encourage those of you that are teenagers here tonight. And being brought up in a Christian home, you might not appreciate tonight the many blessings that there are in a Christian home. You might feel it's restricted. You might feel that there are things that you would love to do, but dear old mum and dad say you can't do them. Well, there's maybe a reason for that. And if the Lord spares you, maybe in your 20s, like me, you'll look back and you'll know why. But tonight I would encourage you, young or old, give attention to the reading of the Word of God. Husbands and wives together, families together, individuals in the quietness of your home. Give attention to the Word of God. It then says in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in you. Essentially that word neglect means to be careless or to make light of, to be negligent. You know, the moment that you were saved, not only were you indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but the Scriptures teach us that we were given something that we call spiritual gift. For some it may be preaching. For some it may be a Sunday school teacher. For some it may be that of the evangelist. It may be tonight that you have the gift of helps or encouragement. And not many people see what you do. Well, the Lord knows. And the Lord sees. And Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Whatever it is tonight that you're gifted with, don't neglect it. Don't be careless with it. Don't make light of it. This is something that has been given to us by God. And Paul says, now the passage is, he says, stir it up in 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, stir up the gift that is in you. That really means to rekindle, to keep the fire going. And maybe tonight you've lost that zeal. You've lost that joy. You've lost that the excitement of the gift that you have been given. You know, so easily, maybe somebody has discouraged you. Maybe something has discouraged you. And tonight, like Peter, when he walked on the water, he took his eyes off them. You know what? He cried out to the Lord and the Lord rescued him. And you know tonight, I love the story of Peter. John chapter 20. Peter, do you love me? Three times the Lord asked me that. And there was still work for Peter to do. Whatever your circumstances are tonight, there's still work for you to do. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And please never ever fall into the trap of thinking that because maybe not many people know what you do for the Lord, that it's worth nothing. It's worth everything. To work behind the scenes, to maybe give the hymn books out, to maybe clean the hall, to maybe ring somebody and encourage them and say, well, how are you? Or use your car to go and take one of the dear old saints to Tesco's to do their shopping. Whatever it may be, nobody else knows about but the Lord knows. And Paul says to Timothy, and he reminds us tonight, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Then it says, verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting or progress may appear to all. The art of meditating, that's not what Paul is talking about, but the art of stopping and thinking is almost gone in our world. We live in a society where everything needs to happen now. Most of us in this room probably are the fortunate or the unfortunate owners of smartphones. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, unless we press the off button, people can get us. By email, by Facebook, by text. And everything happens in an instant. And you know what? Most of us feel like we have to reply straight away. And sometimes that will come when we're giving attendance to the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, it's a challenge for us. This is a reality in our lives today. It's a reality in my life. And it's one that I've quickly woken up, trying to wake up to. Paul says, stop. Think, meditate on these things, ponder God's word, mull it over in your mind, let it simmer, wrestle with it, occupy your time with it. Darby would say, give ourselves wholly to the things of God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a phone. I have one. And I read a very interesting book recently by a believer from the States. He's from Canada, a man called Tim Challis, a book called The Next Story. If you haven't read that, I would encourage you to get it online. And in his book, he's talking about the impact of technology on the world today. And he brings this tremendous trend, and all of a sudden I woke up, and it's called multi-screen time. You're sitting in your living room. Maybe you don't have a television, but maybe three of you in the family have phones. Maybe somebody has a tablet, somebody has a laptop, and you look around the living room and you're all on your screens. Or maybe have a phone in one hand and a laptop in the other. But what's it doing? Our minds are being transformed, that everything has to happen now. We don't think. Web pages are designed that we read them like a Z. 30 seconds maximum, that's Google's idea. We pass on to something else, we go, we want information. And yet Paul is saying, stop, think, meditate. Give yourself to these things. And please don't pick me up wrong, I'm not saying anything against technology tonight. I'm simply saying, well, Paul says it in verse 16, take heed unto thyself. Be careful. First of all, before he says, take heed unto the doctrine, he says, take heed unto yourself. Personal care, personal time alone with God. Do people see progress in our Christian lives? Do people see profiting? We read at verse 15. Paul very simply says, and we'll close our ministry with this before we go on to the. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. You know, sometimes we're so careful in taking heed about doctrine and about truth and about this, that, and the other thing to do with the assembly that sometimes we forget and we forget here. He says, be careful. Men. Be careful. At the touch of a button, there are things that can be seen, things can be read, that shouldn't be seen and shouldn't be read. Time can be taken. Husbands, take heed unto ourselves that we give attention, we give time to our wives, because there was a time when we promised to do so. Fathers, take heed unto thyself, and on the floor play with the children. I say that to myself as well as to you this evening. Because before we know it, our kids will be grown up. Wives, mothers, take heed unto thyself. And finally he says, continue in them. When we read of that word continue in Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly. I wonder tonight, in our own Christian lives, have we progressed? Are we continuing? Are we living in the light, in the life, and the enjoyment of our salvation? Just a few simple thoughts tonight from Paul's instruction to Timothy. Be thou an example. Essentially, in every aspect of our life. Be careful. Enjoy our Christian lives. Enjoy time with the Lord's people. Continue in there.